We're back for another edition of Once Upon an Island, Tales from Lopez. I hope that you have had a chance to listen last time when we had Linda Rose Graham telling us about some of her relations on island. And today we will continue with that. I'm Ali Smulders, and with me is Laurie Harrison.
And we're really happy to welcome Linda back. We had such fascinating hour of stories from way back when she told us from her father's side of the family and her mother's side of the family, all back from before when Washington was a state. So Linda, you're back to tell us yet another strain of your history. This is the Buchanans, and we welcome you back.
Thank you very much. I've had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I'll just keep talking. Talking has never been a problem for me. The Buchanans is my dad's mother's side of the family. And I think I'll just kind of start from the beginning where my great-grandfather came over from Ireland and went to Ontario, Canada, and then came down from there into Utah. And I found him in the 1880 census in Bodie, California, which is a silver mine and really rough and tumble place. He was married to Mary Elizabeth. He had a son and a daughter. And later, the daughter was never seen again, so we're presuming she died in childbirth, which was very normal up in the Bodie area. And then in 1885, he bought property on Lopez Island. We don't know how he found out about Lopez. I wished I knew. He bought property where Skip Clark is right now. And so it's on Caregard Road. And he had three sons. And the little girl had disappeared. And his wife got sick and she died. And it was a tough time for James Buchanan was his name. And at some point along the line, he owed somebody some money in Port Townsend, and they had a attorney working for them. And I received two letters that James Buchanan wrote to this attorney in Port Townsend, and I thought I would just kind of give you the gist of what was said in these letters. These letters are written with no punctuation. Mm-hmm. So you really have to put the sentences together where you think they belong.
And Linda, can you place these letters in time for us?
This is 1894, so this is right about the time he bought the property, maybe a little bit before. But it says, "Dear sir, your letter to hand will say that I did not do as agreed, but the reason was that I not have money to go but took a small boat and went to Woodby Island. I try and collect some money, but did not get 1 cent, and was lost in the fog, and also lost your address, but will soon be over. I have a little money to collect, but not got 1 cent. I have some spuds to sell, have not gotten them dug yet. Yours sincerely, James Buchanan." And then I have a second letter that was written sometime after that. And it kind of tells where James was at that time. It says, "In reply, will say I know that bill has been running a long time, but it is not my fault. I have had a bad streak of luck, and I hope it is over with the first place. My wife died 2 years ago, had been doctor for a long time, and to finish up last winter, I got burnt out of house and home. Everything with the hard times makes it bad for one, but I will pay it little by little until it is paid. I am just as anxious to pay for it as you are to have it. I will be in town next week. Shall call and see you." So this, I knew that James Buchanan had, his house had burned. So it had burned after his wife had died, and he had three boys to bring up. Oh. So this had to be about 1895.
1895.
Excuse me, 1895. Boy, that's hard to say. And
hard times.
Very hard times.
And he's promising this fella potatoes that are still in the dirt.
Yes. Yeah.
And aren't gonna sell even ready to harvest.
That's
yet.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And so
he's just looking for ways that he can make money.
Yes.
And the potatoes
pay it off.
In the soil.
Yep.
And so like money in the bank.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he needed somebody to take care of his boys. He needed somebody that would do things for him. And so on the island, he found, and I have no idea how he met or it ended up, Jenny Hodson was 16 years old, and James Buchanan was 40. And in 1895, they got married. Now, she was 1 year older than James Buchanan's son. He had like 11, 14, and 15-year-old sons, and then Jenny was 16. And so that really helped him take care of the place. And he was building a brand new home and barn, and it was just like a year later, and good things were happening in the neighborhood. Mm. And so it tells you that his life had turned around. He had a show place on the island, the newspaper said. It was worth going to see. He had a fine brick farmhouse. And Brick farmhouse. And
that's unusual.
Yes. And it says, Jim was one of our best farmers and a staunch populist. We know that he was a county commissioner for many years. And he was, my mother said he was just really big Irishman and burly and dark and just really somebody to fear, and that he wasn't the gentlest man when it came to Jenny.
Oh.
And when he would go to Friday Harbor to take care of business, Jenny and the boys would load up the wagon with wheat or some kind of grain and go to the neighbors and sell it because they had no spending money. So she got her way. She managed to get around James and do what she wanted to do. She's a very interesting lady. I knew her as a child, and she was a great grandma to have. She was my great grandmother.
Did they have more children?
They had 9 children.
They had 9?
They had
together.
9, plus
aside
the other
from the
3.
Boys?
Yes, aside from the boys.
Oh,
yes.
Gosh.
And finally, about 1915, she decided to leave. And she took 7 of her children with her. 2 of them, I'm trying to think of, they were older. But she, I found her in the 1920 census in Bellingham with her 7 children. And I found she was married. And so I looked into her marriage. And to start off in 1915, there was an accident on Lopez, a buggy accident, and Mrs. Johnston and Mrs. Jenny Buchanan, which was my great-grandmother, started out for a drive. In a short distance, they were thrown from the buggy, and Mrs. Johnston was killed. And so Mrs. Jenny Buchanan really felt very bad for Mr. Johnston, and he had 3 children. So less than a year later, I find they got married. Mrs. Jenny Buchanan, my great-grandmother, and Cal Johnson, the gentleman who lost his wife in the accident. It's amazing what you can find with all the paperwork that is out there.
And this is the Jenny with the 9 children.
With the 9 children, and 7 of them were with her. And I found where she got divorced like 5 years later. And then she took Cal Johnston to court over alimony. And it's just unbelievable.
But she already got married. In other words, the divorce came years later.
Yes. Well, she got divorced from Mr. Johnston. And she then got married again.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm one husband behind.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes.
So she divorces husband number 2 and then goes back to husband number 1 for alimony.
Well, no. This is she took the she wanted to get alimony from Mr. Johnston.
Okay.
And she forced James Buchanan to sell his farm in 1917. And now whether it had more to do with anything or it was just her part of the estate and finally he was having to sell it to pay her off. Uh-huh. I don't know. She was money conscious. And I know when the kids grew up older, and that's what I knew her as when she was older, or my mother did, and would tell me things, and my dad. The kids took good care of her. They would buy her a house and property, build her something. She could sell it was all in her name, pocket the money, and another kid would make sure she had a roof over her head. So this was always a very interesting family. And she was absolutely delightful. That if she had a quarter and she could buy a meal for a child or take him to the movie, she'd take him to the movie.
What a character.
Oh, she was. She absolutely was. And she bought my sister and I all new clothes one Easter. We were about 8 or 9 years old. And she said, don't tell them because it's their money, you know. So it was always very interesting. My dad would always go over and mow her lawn for her. She's very well taken care of. A nice, nice lady, but definitely with personality plus.
And she married at 14, 9 children.
Yeah, 16. No, 16.
16.
16. I don't want to make it worse. 9 children, yes.
You always and say 14.
I do. I don't know why I got that wrong.
Yeah.
Well, it might as well be. So,
wow. So the life of a prominent farmer on Lopez and then ends up in Seattle.
Well, she ended up in Seattle,
right.
But Bellingham first and then Seattle in when I knew her. James Buchanan sold his farm, and then he moved in with a son, Charlie Buchanan, that had property on Lopez. Oh, it's still in the Richardson area.
Hmm.
And that family kind of spreads out too, you know. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother, then when she married the Grahams, and you read all kinds of things in the newspapers about her and her social conduct as far as winning card games and who they were having for dinner. And she was a fine cook, my grandmother was.
Okay.
And you know, just really, and then boom, all of a sudden there is nothing about my grandmother in the newspaper.
No, she's your great-grandmother, right?
Well, my great-grandmother was the one that went to Bellingham and had these 9 children.
Right,
and
right.
So my grandmother was one of these 9
One of these
children.
Nine. Okay.
Yes. In fact, she was the second child to be born.
Mm-hmm.
And she was born in 1899. And she got married when she was 18. Mm-hmm. I'll take that back. I think she was 16 because my father was born in 1916 and was very social person and kind of, I think, more like her mother, just very social person. And she just took care of things, but she disappeared from the news. And then we found out that through the newspaper that her husband had died, Lyle Graham had died of tuberculosis and was kept care of by Maud Graham, who's now Maud Burt. So we have the Burts, and she had married into the Burt side of the family. Anyway, that was Lyle's sister. And so Carol Buchanan was my grandmother, and she had just disappeared. And so when Lyle died and my dad was put in the orphanage because of no parents, my dad found his mother after he got out of the orphanage.
Okay.
And I know to think that they would put kids in the orphanage is just kind of unreal at this time. Mm-hmm. But a woman, how much money does she earn to support a family? There was my dad and his sister. And so I think you have to look back at the times. It had to be very, very difficult to be in your middle 20s and not have a education and not have an ability to really support your children. Other than she cooked at logging camps, she was a fantastic cook. At the towards the end of her life, she owned a restaurant and ran it fantastic. She was a marvelous cook.
Women then did not have choices. There's just, that's documented backwards and forwards.
Yes, there was no choices. And it just showed in her, and she died very young. She was 66 years old. To me, that looks very young.
Younger and younger.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was, I was glad my dad found her.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea how he found her, but he did. Mm-hmm. And you have to play the cards you're dealt, and my dad did.
Mm-hmm.
So that Buchanan family has been very interesting to dig up genealogy on, and she did live with many men along the way, which I found in the census, and she took up their name. But I found out where she got married again in 1943, and she was still using the Graham name, so I know she did not marry anybody else other than in 1943. So I knew her husband well as a child growing up. So it's just, you know, another connection.
All this interwoven history.
Right. And they used to, my Grandma Carol used to come up to Lopez Island, and she would stay with my mother's side of the family, the Nielsens.
Okay.
And we would go rabbit hunting.
Oh.
And us young people would ride fenders of cars and out and just hit the pastures and net the rabbits. And in the nighttime, we would spotlight them and they would freeze, and we would net the rabbits and put all these rabbits in cages. And in the morning, the adults would get up and butcher all of them.
Oh.
And everybody would go home with rabbit.
Oh.
And so I remember Grandma Carol and her husband coming up to join the Nielsens and other Grahams and splitting up all these rabbits. And it was just a marvelous thing to do. And clam digging.
Okay.
You always cleaned your clams on the beach.
Uh-huh.
And so that was just a nice, fun time.
Did you catch dogfish back in the day?
I don't remember going fishing a whole lot as... I wasn't a very patient person, but I remember digging the clams and netting the rabbits.
Interesting.
Yes.
Netting rabbits.
And we're still battling the rabbits. So.
Do you like rabbit meat?
I used to, but I don't know if it's worth the trouble you have to go to when you can buy chicken. So, no, it just really is very good. So, I can't complain.
Great.
So, do you want to take just a smidgen break?
Sure, that sounds like a great idea. We'll be right back to you. We'll listen to a little more music by Eric Hall. Great. Well, Linda, what else can you tell us about the Buchanans back in the day?
Well, I thought I might just add a few more names in there besides the Buchanans. The Buchanans were related to the Macaulays. Now, that's possibly where James Buchanan found out about Lopez, is from the Macaulays, the same as Chris Jensen. The Macaulays was Jane Macaulay. Jane was James's sister, and they lived across the street from each other. And Buchanans were in the area of Skip Clark, and the Macaulays were in the area of Bucky Lee, and Pat Lee, right there, right across the street. And so the Macaulays, their children, one of them was Barbara, who married Barney Goodrow. So the Goodrows are related. And of course, Barbara Goodrow is now a Pickering. So Barbara Pickering is related. And it goes on and on. And which is so neat to have so many roots on Lopez. And another interesting story is one of my aunts, Aunt Gertrude, who was a Buchanan, married Owen Higgins. And then they got divorced, and he married Eva, and then they had George Higgins. So I'm not related to the Higgins, but almost.
And George has been on this show.
Yes, yeah, that George yes, Higgins. Yeah. Yeah. And oh, that's great. So it was, you know, just interesting how things happen. And then during my childhood, of course, myself and my cousins, especially my one favorite cousin, Gary, he and I would go to Richardson as often as Grandma would let us, and really enjoyed Richardson's store. The ice cream, of course, we always got an ice cream cone, but just the smell of Lopez, the smell of Richardson, it's something I've never smelled anyplace else. I don't know, it was the salt water and the old wood. Just marvelous. And the ramp going up to all the school supplies and the sewing supplies and the material and the clothes and the life jackets and the marine stuff. And you could, if you needed anything for camping or for boating or for everyday use, it was there. Besides the food. And it just was unbelievable. And we just lived to walk to Richardson.
It was a grocery as well as all the notions and the marine.
Right.
And it the was magazines.
A, yes, magazines.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the newspapers and the, it was the hub of the city. It just was something that we'd never get back. Even if they ever built a new store down there, you'd never get that Richardson back. It's terrific memories.
Well, absolutely. Linda, I know you and Allie have both been there, and we moved here just right after it had burned. But when I hear, and I can never hear enough stories about Richardson. There's so much of a mystery and magic about it to me. But it reminds me the stories of going to the old Ben Franklin in Lake City when I was a little girl in the 50s. Is it that kind of a?
It is. It really was like a five and dime. Okay. It really was. They just had a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was just the way it was.
And partly it was the way it was constituted. In other words, you had to go up a ramp to get to the next division where, say, all the clothing and the kerosene lamp stuff was located. And there was a huge counter. And behind that counter, Holly B. started at age 19 to have her baked bread for sale. And I remember coming there one August in the 70s to ask her whether she could bake a cake because our son Mark would have a birthday. And she said, I'll try and make a chocolate cake. I've never done that before. So it was her first chocolate cake. And then she said, is $3.50 too much? I said, no, it's not too much. It looks beautiful.
Very good. Yes, that's Holly got her start.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness.
Did she bake at home and bring things in?
That's what I remember. I don't know for sure, but that's how I picture it actually.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I don't think they had a baking facility there.
Well, I think we all feel very spoiled that we could walk around as children and walk 3 miles. I walked to Richardson and alone. I mean, with my cousin, woods on both sides. And you just think in today's world that just can't be done to let your children go that far.
You could on
unsupervised.
Lopez.
You
yes,
could on Lopez.
Yes, that's right. I think on Lopez is the only place you can still hitchhike.
Right, right. Very
true.
Yes,
lucky for all of us from time to time.
Yes. Yeah. So, no, it is. It all boils down to Richardson is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I always find it so neat that I am so related to almost everybody, and things keep coming together, and I keep reading the newspaper. And once I found my birth in the newspaper,
oh.
I quit reading. Now I have to continue to read to find out how often I visited. So,
yeah,
that'll
be listed, right?
That's
probably.
Right. It should be listed. Yes,
oh,
yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's just time consuming. So like all of us, I'm pinched for time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm so grateful you weren't pinched for time and you could come and share all these wonderful stories with us.
Well, really enjoyed myself. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you so very much.
Perfect.
Okay.
Look at this.
How did we do?